Welcome back to After 83 Weeks. Joining us now is the man who was running the show in 1996. Hello, Eric Bischoff. How you doing tonight?
I am doing very well. Coming to you live, sort of, from Billings, Montana.
What are you doing there? Sort of rando. That's one of those places I always have to think of. Where does he live again? Is it Wyoming, Montana, Colorado?
I live about 2 hours south of here, but I've got to catch a flight to the East Coast at 6 a.m. in the morning. And in order to do that, I have to drive up to Billings, spend the night here, and then catch my 6 a.m. flight.
Oh, my gosh. A man on the move. Well, I'm sure you're ready to hit the hay fairly soon so that you can get ready for your flight. But we do have some questions about this Nitro from 1996 for you. How did you like watching this one back?
I always like watching anything from 1996 because I really think 1996, 97, first part of 98 was kind of like the peak of Nitro. So anytime I go back, it's always pretty exciting, pretty fun.
Well, and we got some really cool tidbits on this episode. Even Conrad said at the end he thought this was one of the best ones you guys did. But some really interesting stuff about the business end. And you revealed that it cost nearly $400,000 to produce one episode of Nitro. Can you give us a little bit more of a breakdown for that? Like, what was the biggest expense? Are there expenses in there that we would maybe be even more surprised about?
No, I mean, look, you've got the venue, you've got travel. You know, you're bringing in on any, you know, typical Nitro, you're flying to another city, so you've got a crew of probably not including the local talent that you hire, you know, freelancers. You probably get 40. You've got hotels, you have a production truck, a very high-end production truck that would run anywhere from probably $125,000 to $175,000 a night. You had a satellite uplink at the time, which was generally $50,000 to
$75,000. Oh, excuse me.
So, but catering, insurance, all those little things that, you know, incrementally doesn't really look like that big a deal, but when you start adding all that together, it gets pretty substantial pretty quick.
Yeah, wow. That blew my mind.
So this episode, we also got to see a very old commercial for the WCW magazines featuring your son, Garrett. My question is, how did that come to be? Did he go through the traditional casting mechanism?
Somehow, I want to guess no.
Fuck no. Are you kidding? That was early nepotism. That was like nepotism 101. No, I mean, Garrett, look, both my daughter, Montana, and Garrett used to come into the office on Fridays. That was kind of like our, you know, relaxed day in the office. And especially my son, Garrett, because he's a social butterfly. He always has been. We used to call him Bueller when he was a little kid, like Ferris Bueller in a movie, because everybody knew Garrett. And Garrett was much the same way in the WCW offices. So he knew everybody in marketing and promotion and advertising and merchandising and obviously all the talent. So it was kind of and yes, the fact that I was running the company had something to do with it.
Did you
at least
seeing
it, right? Admit it.
Of course. And after seeing this, did you reach out to him about it? Like, hey, remember that time that you were in a commercial?
No, I haven't. You know, my son and our daughter-in-law were up visiting us for a little over a week this past week. They just left the other day. And I saw that commercial right after they left, and I really haven't had a chance to talk to him yet.
So we saw Kevin Nash's first appearance here on this Nitro, and obviously Scott Hall had just come in. You know, I don't think you guys gave them names. You were just like, oh, here are these outsiders. Was there ever any talk about giving these guys a gimmick name or something, obviously, like Sharp Pablo or Gasoline, but just something before finally settling on, this is going to be Scott Hall and this is going to be Kevin Nash? Like, any idea for, like, maybe a gimmick name for them?
No, and that's a great question. But, again, if you go back to, you know, and really look at the timing of what went down and order in which it went down. I had already been kind of formulating an NWO idea very broadly for about a year and a half. And when Scott and Kevin became available, it became clear to me that I was going to be able to really launch that idea. So as soon as I knew they were available, I immediately, in my mind at least, plugged them into that storyline. And in that storyline, I didn't want gimmick names. I didn't want my characters to be gimmick characters. I didn't want their bullshit storyline to be, you know, completely scripted. I wanted there to be, you know, a sense of reality to their story. So the idea of giving them gimmick names never crossed my mind.
Pro Wrestling Good question. Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com/SharpPablo. It's coming.
Well, along with the NWO, because you also talked about in detail on this episode how, in your mind, at least at the beginning, you were picturing Sting to be the third. Yeah, what are you flipping around over there? What's going on?
This is some high tech lighting.
Always the producer, this guy.
I produced over 5,000 hours of television, probably 100 pay-per-views. I'm now doing a feature film, and I'm lighting my broadcast here with a freaking towel on my lap. And I don't even have it out of the frame because I don't want you to see my bed. I got nowhere to go here. This is embarrassing. This is all low tech. It's embarrassing. Just.
Well, I have no more questions.
No,
you were talking about how you were thinking about Sting being the original third man, how you were discussing that. So I was just curious, was there ever consideration in a way for Hogan to be like the dark, mysterious character or something to the extent, I'm not saying drop from the rafters like Sting did, but was it?
That would have been a fun conversation.
That would have been good, right?
We're going to hoist your big ass up about 4 or 5 feet in the air. And no, really, we're going to drop you down, and it's going to feel like you're dropping at 100 miles an hour. We're going to hit the brakes right in time. Yeah, that would have been a...
No, but...
So that doesn't work for me, brother.
But was there ever any, like, initial discussion of, okay, well, if Sting's going to be the third man, how are we going to shape Hogan? Like, was there a thought of those roles, in a way, reversing?
No. And again, look at the timeline and keep in mind that the idea of, I mean, there was no idea of anybody being that dark kind of brooding character. That was a very spontaneous idea. I mean, I've talked about this before, and it's one of the most fun things that I can talk about because it's rare that an idea just kind of happens. And when it happens initially, it becomes so clear that you could all, everybody in the room could see it simultaneously. You know, most ideas, we've talked about this before, I'm sure you've heard me say it on the podcast, somebody goes, hey, why don't we paint the wagon blue? And everybody goes, wow, cool, a blue wagon, but what if we put white wheels on it? Oh, great. And then before you know it, that blue wagon with white wheels has turned into a 32-foot yacht, you know, that's painted purple, you know, that's got gold fringe, you know, hanging off the top. Ideas morph so much over the course of time. But this was one idea, and it was Scott Hall. I've said this before. It had nothing to do with me. I was an innocent bystander. I was a fly on the wall. And I remember it going down like I just saw it happen at a movie theater. But it was, you know, Sting was sitting there in a chair. It was Hulk and Nash, myself, maybe one or two other people. We were in a locker room environment. And Hall just started riffing, if you know, I guess that's an old school term, but he just started like jamming and throwing out ideas, and he got really into this Crow character idea. And within about 45 minutes, that whole character and how it was going to play out was really outlined in pretty good detail. I've never experienced something quite like that. I've always experienced the other side of it, where ideas change and morph and evolve, and what you end up with is not anything what you started out with. This was an exception to that. And it was very spontaneous. I mean, honest to God, if we wouldn't have all been sitting around in a locker room at the same time shooting shit, that idea probably would never have happened.
Wow.
And it's very cool. I mean, that's the fun part about being in creative. You know, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, if you're lucky in your career, it'll happen once every few years where something really cool just kind of manifests right in front of you and you know it. You know, it's like I've never played baseball and I've never swung a golf club, but I can imagine what it feels like when you make contact with a ball and before you even realize it, your body knows that that's a home run. You can feel it in your hands. You can feel it in your wrist. And the same thing is probably true with musicians who finally get into a chord or a note or something that they've been looking for, and you just know it's right. This was one of those situations where we just knew it was right.
To bring it back to Hulk Hogan. You mentioned that Hulk Hogan was shooting Santa with Muscles or some such film at the time. Was there any concern, either internal or WCW, that Hogan was diminishing his brand in any way by doing films that, if you were to compare them to, let's say, Rocky or Rambo, like, was he diminishing his brand at all by doing movies like Santa with Muscles?
Ooh.
No, we didn't look at it that way. I mean, we weren't really concerned with that. You know, wrestling fans are wrestling fans, and movies are movies. They're two separate kind of categories. No. I mean, I could babble on and on about it, but your question was pretty direct and simple, and the answer is pretty direct and simple. No, we weren't worried about it.
This was the go-home show for Great American Bash 1996, and one of the biggest moments of that pay-per-view was you getting powerbombed through the stage. That was kind of your first big bump. So were you nervous about taking that bump? Like, how did you feel? Like, just what was your thoughts for that bump that was just, in my opinion, the best part of the show?
Why the hell are you wearing the New England Patriots jersey?
Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
SoCal native.
He's representing the greatest quarterback of all time.
It's June. Represent a baseball player.
All right. So no straight answer for that.
So SoCal native George Mendoza and a New England Patriots jersey.
It makes as much sense as his man bun, Eric.
You got a man bun? I've never seen
take the headphones off.
You said I looked like Matt Hardy when
it's
we first
the worst.
Met.
Turn the head so I can see it.
It's so bad.
I mean, I thought I looked more like Ty Dillinger, but you said I looked like Matt Hardy.
You don't.
You do not.
No and no.
I'm like a perfect four.
That looks great.
Two and a half.
That's a badass look you got going there. New England Patriots jersey and a man bun. It must go over really well in Southern California.
Yeah, right.
I only wear it to AfterBuzz, so.
How was I feeling? I love adrenaline. I kind of thrive on fear just a little. I mean, I don't want to be scared to death. You know, I don't want to wet myself. But I do kind of dig a little bit of adrenaline for a fix every now and then. I was concerned about rehearsing it because, I wasn't then. I mean, that was 25 years ago. I was in my early 40s at the time, I guess, somewhere in there. I was in much better shape then than I am now, but I was in still no shape to take that kind of a bump because I wasn't a wrestler. I wasn't used to it. My real concern was with rehearsing it because I was afraid I might get hurt. I wasn't afraid I'd get hurt bad, but, you know, collarbone, elbow, arm, whatever, would have screwed up the live performance. And I didn't want to risk getting hurt during a rehearsal, so I kind of exited the rehearsal just because I figured if I got hurt doing it, who cares?
Right.
That way I can sell a broken arm or a collarbone or something that makes it more believable. But if I would have gotten hurt during a rehearsal and not be able to do it, it would have hurt the show. So I was aware that I could easily get hurt. I wasn't too worried about it. And look, the only real danger in a bump like that, I think, not an expert, but I knew if I just tucked my chin, you know, my head wouldn't hit anything hard. I knew I wouldn't break my neck. Everything else was healable. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't have been that. Even if it would have gone bad, it wouldn't have been that bad. So I wasn't really worried about it. I just didn't want to rehearse it.
Interesting.
So you and Conrad, for this week's episode, you did a watch-along, which you've done once in a while. You've done watch-alongs on Patreon. WWE now does watch-alongs. Xavier Woods on Up Down does watch-alongs. You know about content and producing. Why are so many people obsessed now with watching people watch things?
I don't know, but I kind of think if I had the answer to that, I would own the next Twitch. I mean, because that's what Twitch is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sitting around watching other people play video games, that's really freaking boring to me.
Right.
Now, I'm not a gamer, so I get, you know, I'm outside the demo, as they like to say, otherwise known as Old as Fuck. But the idea of watching anybody doing something else, unless there's violence or threat of injury involved, I'm not into it. I mean, it's kind of like why people bowl. I mean, I like to bowl every once in a while, you know, smoke a bowl, play a couple games.
There you go.
It's fun. But watching other people do it, I don't get it. And the same thing is true with I guess watch alongs. I mean, I do it with Conrad and I. You know, it's fun for us because like this particular pay-per-view when we watched along, I hadn't seen it since we did it. Oh. And anytime I watch something for the first time in 20 years, it's like I've never seen it before. Have you ever done that? Have you ever like going through, you're looking for a movie and you go, oh, I saw that movie 10 years ago, but you can't remember how it ended.
Yeah.
That happens to me all the time. But reviews, he goes, oh, we're going to watch this one. I go, oh, shit, I know I was there because, mm-hmm. I know I was there.
Right.
I don't remember it. So when I'm watching it for the very first time, my reactions are very visceral and real, and I haven't thought about anything before. So it makes it a little bit more fun for me, but I don't know how it is for the listeners. I really don't. You'd have to tell me.
Oh, well, I had fun watching this one back.
Oh, no. No, that's the thing. Like, I find it entertaining. I just don't understand the obsession with them. And it's not just, on Eric's podcast. It's
Shivani's podcast.
It's Shivani's podcast. It's Up, Up, Down, Down. Mm-hmm. It's, like you said, everything on Twitch. Mm-hmm. So many – WWE now does it on all their pay-per-views with Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, did you ever think that you would be in the position where having been the guy, the Svengali, the guy behind the scenes would be valuable, where you would have a platform to share your story and to tell people what was really going on? Did you ever think that would happen?
Never. I don't think anybody that's really honest, would have a hard time saying yes to that. I mean, who would have thought even 3 years ago, 4 years ago, this what we're doing right now could not have happened. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really available, from a technological point of view. You just couldn't do it. And if you did, it would be very expensive and it would be hit or miss, mm-hmm. right? I remember when the first iPay-per-views came out. What is that, 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago? You'd spend your money for an iPay-per-view, 7 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, it would crash.
Oh, yeah.
Now look at streaming. Now look at what you can do with streaming. And what's available to people, not only producers, but viewers as well. No, I would have never imagined, and that's why I like doing this. I mean, to me, not to get too over the top here, but, for us to be able to sit here and have these conversations and have fun doing it and know that there are people all over the world that are going to be watching this, yeah. and they're going to tune into it, and they do every week. To me, that is so fascinating that you can reach out and touch people doing something as much fun as we're doing right now. And I have fun with you guys every week. And we're going to have fun. We'll laugh. We'll make fun of each other. And then people all over the world will be entertained by that. I find that fascinating.
Yes. Well, we love it, too. And we appreciate that even though you weren't on the compound this week, that you were able to still join us from your hotel room. So where can we find you the next week or so? Like, what are you up to? What should we see?
I've got a trip. I'm heading towards Pittsburgh in the morning. I'll be home on Friday. I'll be doing yard work over the weekend. If you guys miss me really bad and you just want to, have an impromptu kind of session here, we can get together and have a mind melt.
While you're on the lawnmower?
I'm going to start growing my man bun.
Do it.
Damn right, you should. Trust me, it compensates for other parts that aren't there, but whatever.
No, it doesn't.
I think me and a man bun would create a buzz. Thinking about it.
Oh, you do have some luscious locks, Eric, and we do appreciate you bringing them to After 83 Weeks again this week, and we're looking forward to next week, the Great American Bash. Are you, you're going to sit down and watch that one, and we will be right here to grill you about it and probably, annoy you, and we will also be checking the progress of your man bun next week, so grow it out, and take care, safe travel.
I'm so excited. I can go around telling everybody that Kristen can't wait to see my butt.
That is
awesome.
Yes. I'm not going to live that one down all week.
You will not.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Eric. We will see you next week.
Thanks, Eric.
Hey, you guys are the best. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Bye. Oh, man, you guys.
He's got to grow the hair bun, the man bun, and then we'll have a hair versus hair match.
Oh, my God,
Eric
I love
versus
it.
George.
That was a plan the whole time.
with Bischoff?
Well, with me.
This has been a long play. This is a five-year-long play. Yeah. Like, he's been at AfterBuzz just so one day he can have a hair versus hair match with Eric Bischoff.
There it is.
The innuendo around here is so strong. And if people maybe have some creative ideas of things we should, you know, say on the show, I don't know. Where can they reach out to you, Christian Rosenberg?
Get creative on Twitter by tweeting me at Will Rosenberg, Instagram, The Will Rosenberg, ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg, and catch me hosting AfterBuzz SmackDown.
Ooh. And you can follow me on Twitter, GHERMOZA. Feel free to comment on my man bun. Feel free to comment on my Patriots jersey. I'll probably wear another jersey next week.
I approve of the Patriots jersey.
You just would. Wait till what I wear next week.
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I'll be wearing Eagles jerseys, almost exclusively.
I mean, I think wait to see what I wear next week should probably just be a line that's reserved for me, Christy Olsen. You can hit up at Christy Reports. We so appreciate all you 83 Weeks fans joining us. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, give us a little thumbs up, and send in your questions, #Ask83Weeks. And we'll see you next week for the Great American Bash. Take care.
And me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
You should leave it. I think I should post it to the dirt sheets.
Absolutely.
I think we should politicize it. What do you think Christy Reports is looking for with that question?
That's exactly what you were looking for.
Maybe we should have more of a powwow beforehand.
But it has nothing to do with wrestling.
The question had to do with it, and then he kind of steered a little off it.
Which is, I don't know.
Which he does on plenty of questions, not just that one.
But, I don't know. That law is barbaric.
You need the hit, Steve. Keep it in.
No, I don't.
Heat is the word that we use here in the professional wrestling biz.
It's not the
Jonathan
right heat.
Heat.
It's not the right heat.
It's fine.
I think
fine.
It might be for
you're
wrestling.
You're overthinking
wrestling.
It.
It's like kill the channel.
Steve. We got political there for a sec, and we're talking about it.
And Steve's worried about that.
I'm not worried. I'm just... I may cut it.
No,
I'm
you
not
going to
be
don't
honest.
Don't cut it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, I have my thing. Yes.
The second half, which is the first half, which, yeah.
WCW is about to be invaded, and we are covering the Nitro that kicked it all off with Eric Bischoff himself. You listen to them, now hang out with us. This is After 83 Weeks with Christy Olsen. That's me. Okay.
Hot like fire.
Don't say anything, Tourette-y.
What is that? What is that noise?
It's a computer noise.
I gathered that.
It's like a Microsoft notification situation. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. yes, let's do it. WCW is about to be invaded, and we're covering the Nitro that kicked it all off with the man himself, Eric Bischoff. You listen to them, now hang out with us. This is After 83 Weeks with Christy Olson. That's me. Third time is a charmy charm. Charmy charm. Charmy charm. There will be many times when you will have to bear with us. We ask that you return.
Not me.
The favor. All right, let's do it. WCW is about to be invaded, and we're covering the Nitro that kicked it all off with Eric Bischoff himself. You listen to them, now hang out with us. This is After 83 Weeks with Christy Olson. That's me.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, 83 Weeks fans, it is time for the buzz to begin. This is the show for everybody who listened to Conrad and Eric to come. We cover all the big reveals, we get your fan reactions, and we're, of course, breaking it down with a little Q&A session with Eric Bischoff himself. He'll be calling in a little bit later, but let me tell you about the voices you're going to hear tonight. We're starting off with a veteran of the biz, as I like to call it. He's also the host of the SmackDown AfterBuzz TV After Show. Say hello to Christian Rosenberg.
Hello, Christy Olsen.
Howdy, how you doing? You're wearing the old school shirt tonight. I like this.
It's not that old. It's not that old. Maybe a year and a half-ish.
People can still rock it.
Oh, they can rock even my oldest ones. At ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg.
I love it. I set you up for the plug.
Yeah, you did.
And this guy deserves lots of plugs. We call him the Encyclopedia of Sports Entertainment. And audience members on the indie scene call him Devastator 2.
How come you never say I am the host, I'm one of the hosts of the WWE pay-per-view after show?
Because I think it's more fun that you're a wrestler. George Hermosa!
Oh, wow, apparently being an AfterBuzz host is more fun for you.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, priorities. And this guy hasn't because he runs the YouTube channels for probably every single wrestling veteran. Everybody whose YouTube channel you watch, it's all this guy. Hello, Steve Kaufman.
Hello. I learned a bit about piracy this week. Did you all get the link?
I'm sure we did.
Where I synced Monday Nitro to this episode.
Oh, God.
So that you could all push play and watch. Was I the only one who watched it that way?
No, I'm still paying for the WWE Network like a chump.
But then you have to like have two different devices. I took all the guesswork out.
I was busy losing in Vegas, so I didn't have time.
I was hoping you would be on a plane watching.
You are. Wait, you know
Wi-Fi.
What? We can take a little sec out for, because this is a sports entertainment, and I think, you know, card playing is one of those. It's just entertainment.
Yeah, I played
in
the World Series of Poker this weekend.
It's kind of a big deal.
I did not win, but it was fun playing.
What place were you in?
You couldn't determine a place yet because
it was that low.
Well, no. Here's the thing:
it's a 2-day event.
It was a 2-day event that turned
3,200 players.
It ended up being 3,200 players, and I lasted nearly about 5 hours. But technically, they're allowing registration up through 8 hours. So technically, people could still buy in by the time I did get knocked out. So. It sounds bad, but in retrospect, you actually got to think, I probably beat out somewhere between 700 and 1,000 players.
At any point, did you have a hand that was aces and eights?
No. Oh, God. I did not have aces and eights at any point.
Please try to do that next time just so you can tell us all about it.
I will stop the game.
Let me take
a picture of my aces and eights.
Well, what I need all y'all out there to do is hit the subscribe button. Make sure that you do not miss any of these exclusives from Eric or from 83 Weeks. And also give us a little thumbs up. We are on Apple Podcasts as well if you choose to listen instead of watch. I don't know why you would do that because we're all so incredibly attractive.
Yeah, we are.
But if you do, maybe leave us 5 stars and a little comment. Let us know what you think about the show, and you can always send your questions for Eric in using this brand new hashtag that I accidentally invented, hashtag Ask 83 Weeks. a little fancier than, a little cleaner than the other one we were using before. So make sure you send your questions in. We do have him for Eric. He's going to join us a little bit later. But before that, we are going to talk about the Nitro from June 10th, 1996. I sat down and watched this one along with Conrad and Eric, which was really fun. Just thoughts from you guys initially when you sit down and watch this back. This was a huge blast from the very long past.
I mean, every time I think about this era, it just like this was not the last time, but wrestling was so great around this time because it was so unpredictable. Like you had, and being live does add a whole new element to watching wrestling because you never really know what's going to happen. And it just I hear about the episode or I'm listening to them and I'm like, man, like Kevin Nash randomly showing up, like hearing the audience react, like that can't never really happen these days. And yeah, we saw Moxley on AEW, but like we all knew he was going to show up. Let's be real, you know. But it's like
it's probably the closest thing we have.
Yeah, nowadays, and it's just like it's just like thinking like, oh my God, Nash and Hall now are they're from WWF? They're invading. Like I don't know. There's just so much like unpredictability that like really doesn't exist anymore.
And the unique thing with it though was here comes Kevin Nash in a baseball cap and a T-shirt that doesn't say Diesel on it. And he's just dressed up like anyone else. So it's like, wait, he's not working for them because he's not in his gear, so he's not at work. But he somehow got through security. You know, like 13-year-old me. 13-year-old me was thinking this. So I'm just like, what's happening right now? God. And, I mean, because even today, like you said with Moxley, well, yeah, he invaded, quote-unquote, but he was in his gear. And like people were like, oh, we knew his contract was up. 1996, very few people knew that Kevin Nash's contract was up.
Yeah. Belief was suspended.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, I knew Nash was going to show up, but I never knew Hall was going to show up. So even that, like, it was just one of those, oh, but are they invading? Like, and I think they made it very clear by the pay-per-view that they don't work for the WWF, but they also don't work for WCW. And I kind of like that whole, like, realism. Like, obviously they don't work for WCW, but I don't know. Just to me, it was just so unpredictable that really can't be done today. Or maybe it can. Maybe that's why everybody thinks that, you know, Raw isn't good, because maybe they know that this is possible, but they just choose not to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, I mean, all of this, the in-ring and the image and all that aside, what we really got on this episode was a lot of behind-the-scenes details, a lot of the business stuff, the contracts, you know, everything from the fact that the wrestlers are paying for their own wardrobe to the bottom line. I was really surprised to hear Eric say that it wasn't difficult to negotiate with Hall and Nash, because I think this is one of the, would you call this the biggest move in all of pro wrestling, them coming to WCW?
I mean, at that time
frame, that wasn't difficult at that moment, is really shocking.
I would argue turning Hulk Hogan heel would have been, if you considered that a business move, that would have been the biggest.
Okay. I mean, if you're considering like someone signing to a company, I mean, it's definitely up there. I would say Ric Flair leaving WCW to come to WWF was, and then obviously he went back. That's obviously a big one as well. And I mean, in retrospect, as far as the talent, what they became, so I would say Flair, I would say Hall and Nash, and then I would say the Radicals.
Radicals is a bit of a coup.
Yeah.
It was that was another moment where like you suspended your disbelief, and if you were young enough, you saw them on one show one week, and then they were just on another show the next week.
Like, yeah, I can't even imagine as somebody who wasn't really in, like, who would just watch wrestling just for wrestling. They don't care what goes on the dirt sheet. They don't care what goes on, you know, behind the scenes. They just watch weekly, you know, like,
that's what I did for 22 years of my life.
Yeah, because that's how we were when we started watching as a kid. Like, we didn't really care what went on backstage. We're like, oh my God, we just want to watch wrestling what it is. Mm-hmm. We know that there's two different territories where you can't intermingle with them, but just I can't even imagine how that was for maybe kids that, or maybe even adults that just never really cared about who's jumping from who, or I'm sorry, the backstage, who's getting fired or hired, whatever. Yeah. But it's more like oh my God, like this is so amazing to watch. But in response to your question, yes, especially in the Monday Night War era, because that was so like, now it's a war.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, you can say, you can argue Hogan in 94, but, like, it didn't really matter because, like, it was just on Saturday nights, let's be real, you know? Mm-hmm. But,
well, I mean, someone who doesn't come up in this conversation of, you know, making or breaking WCW is definitely the Quebecers, who Eric mentioned on this episode of the show. You guys have to help me with this because, remind me, the Quebecers. So there's one guy who does commentary right now for, like, French
Nope.
Network.
Nope.
Is that him?
That's his brother.
Okay.
Okay, that's what it is. Because he introduced me and like thought he used to be a wrestler and it was the whole thing. Okay.
So the Quebecers were in WWF, but they went to WCW as the Amazing French Canadians. One of them now is PCO.
Greatest name.
PCO is amazing. He redid his whole career.
Jacques, who's got a kid who looks amazing. But I heard that the heat that his Jacques Rougeau Jr., whatever it is. But his heat that he has with WWE is so bad that they won't even look at him. Like, I was reading listening to a podcast with like Kevin Owens, and he said that like even though Jacques Rougeau was like the first person that broke him in, he hates Jacques Rougeau, that he is such a scumbag. But again, like I heard it's that bad where like his heat is that bad where like they won't even, I mean, they'll look at him, but they're like, oh, but your dad, like we don't like your affiliation with your dad, like, so he's gotta, you gotta separate yourself from, not also, emancipate him, but like,
also he's Jacques Rougeau Jr., so he's JRJR.
Oh no. Sure. I mean, that's never gonna work.
That's actually kind of clever. But I was a big fan of the Quebecers. But yeah, it didn't surprise me when they said that, like, oh yeah, you know, they were tough to deal with, because I heard stories about Jacques Rougeau like that.
Yeah. Well, and the, you know, there were some dirt sheet stories around this time too about who was going to be the third man. Do you guys remember that as fans? Like, one, no. Like, was that a thing that was on your radar?
There was a third man.
I was such 10. A huge deal out of it now. Like, was it really?
If I were 20, I probably would have been subscribed to the newsletter and really following
call it
like
call
this.
The hotline.
But I was 10.
Yeah, and at age 13, they're just like, on our third man, just like, there's a third? I don't know who it is.
I mean, what was your question? Was we're excited about it?
Yeah, like, do you remember that being on your radar? Like, do you remember wondering, like, I cannot wait to see who is going to be the
100%.
Oh, like once, but following along with the TV show, third.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to do research. I didn't know dirt sheets were a thing.
Yeah.
I thought dirt sheets were what my brother might do in his bed when he was young.
I think if I could go back in time, if I had one opportunity to go back in time.
I don't know what that was.
I would go back and tell a young Christian Rosenberg about dirt sheets. I think if I just had one chance to do anything for the future of the world, it would just be, listen, young Christian Rosenberg, you can find out everything that's going on.
I mean,
I would probably become a worse Dave Meltzer if I knew that way back then. So I'm very thankful that I didn't find that out.
And if anything, for the third man, I thought it was going to be another WWF guy. Like, I was like, oh, I thought it was maybe like 1-2-3 Kid that came over. Like, I mean, Brett wasn't on TV for a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought he would be the third man, but I mean, even Sting like would have shocked me to the core.
Sting, watching these episodes now, felt like a really obvious choice.
Especially because like he didn't have the bleach blonde anymore. It was almost as if like even as a kid, like you always try to overanalyze everything. Where it's like, oh my god, there's got to be a reason why he doesn't have the bleach blonde.
No, I don't think we did as kids. We do now.
I mean, if I'm
we do now, we're like, oh, so and so changed his hair. That means he's getting a new gimmick.
Yeah, if I try to remember, you know, back then. You know, what I was thinking, because I'm sure I was trying to talk to friends and guess who the third man was. Mm-hmm. I would think my guess was probably Luger.
Yeah, that was probably my
guess.
Because he kept going back and forth, like face and heel, like teaming with Sting, but managed by Jimmy Hart.
But again, I it wasn't even coming to my mind that they're going to get another guy from WWF.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't even come to my mind then.
Oh, my God. This is such an incredible time in wrestling, and it's so much fun. And I can't wait to break it down with Eric himself. He's going to be joining us in just a minute. And, of course, next week we're going to be talking about the Great American Bash, which kind of just advances all of the... Yeah,
99
so we're
going
to fast forward a few years and advance all of this. But I think it's most important, you know, who wants to listen to us yip-yap about it? We want to talk to the man himself, the president and EP of WCW, Eric Bischoff, will be joining us in just a moment. Stay tuned.